Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
You listen to Inside the Park. Inside the Park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always tell them.
Gambling. What do you think about gambling?
It's
not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
He's not coming out late. The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park. Welcome back. That biggie intro was fitting because we got a big show for you guys tonight. A lot's going on in the baseball world. We're going to try to touch on all of it for you. We got some interesting stuff out of the Red Sox camp. We got to get on Strasburg and his innings limit. We're going to do a little Miguel Cabrera versus Wonder Boy conversation, which was inspired by Jimmy Lewin. And that sound you hear is my man Hank laughing in the background. For those of you great listeners, you guys know Hank and I have a bet on whether or not the Dodgers are going to make the playoffs. And, the prime competition, the Giants, had some interesting things happen to them today. Hank.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you got to be feeling about that bet we got done.
Well, I apologize. I'm a little bit of wetting my whistle right now, I'm really getting kind of thirsty. Yeah. I wasn't backing down on what I thought was going to happen anyway. I thought that the Dodgers was going to make the playoffs, but thanks to their chief rival, the San Francisco Giants, and Mr. Melky Cabrera, for really bringing that home for me. I appreciate that so much.
Hey, this year he's batting about 340 something for the San Francisco Giants. Victor Conti. That was the guy who had the steroid man.
Breaking up a little bit.
Oh, was that okay? For those of you who didn't catch that, he said you got to be pretty dumb to get caught with a high testosterone level. Hank, you got any thoughts on this Melky Cabrera going out? I mean, he's having a career year. You got any thoughts on this one?
I have a lot of thoughts on this one. First of all, this was the wow factor for me today. This man was the MVP of the All-Star game this year. He's having a career year. He's leading the National League in hits. And he was that big bat in the middle of that Giants lineup. Okay. You have to really think about, RJ, the impact this has on the Giants. Okay. When you look at the Giants, you know that they have them a pretty powerful starting pitching rotation. And with Buster Posey coming back this year, with the Kung Fu Panda having the year that he was having, you got Melky Cabrera that just seemed to have revitalized his career, okay, to the point where they felt pretty good enough to try to go and do something at the trade deadline, which brought them Hunter Pence. Okay, so now they look like they were a complete team, was ready and poised to take the West. So now you lose all of that offensive firepower in the middle of your lineup. And, oh, by the way, Melky was playing some pretty good defense this year. This is a huge, huge, huge blow for them right down the stretch. And again, when you think about it, right now it's like, oh, they may be okay for a few games, but now they're the same old Giants as they were when the season started. Okay, and it's huge. And you do have other teams that's surging. You got the Dodgers. You have the Diamondbacks is playing pretty well. And this really opens up another playoff spot, in my opinion, for another team in the National League.
Yeah, you know, if there's one team in the playoff hunt that couldn't afford to lose any offense, like you said, it would be the Giants. They're pitching heavy, a little deprived on offense. You know, we got that bet going, so I'm definitely hoping that Buster Posey and Hunter Brent can carry the way. But it's Melky Cabrera made it real hard for him. That's for darn sure.
I mean, he really did, and they were already neck and neck, you know. And if you've been watching what's going on in the National League West, you had the Giants. They were really poised to take that division. They really were, to the point where the Dodgers had to step up. The Dodgers team that we were talking about, post All-Star break, you know, as much as I hate to say it, it was going to be rough for them down. It's going down the stretch to try to figure out a way to beat that team. But then they go and they get a Hanley Ramirez. You know, you have a healthy Matt Kemp. And you want to kind of go back. Let's think about the Dodgers and what happened when Matt Kemp got hurt. You know, he got hurt early in the year. You know, he had the All-Star break in the first part of the second half of the season to get his feet back. Melky is going out for the stretch run. If the Giants make it to the playoffs, they have to get five games into the playoffs even for him to get back in the plan. And think about this. He's been suspended. So it's not like he's playing. He's got to get his timing back together. So the player that you would get back, even if you were to make the playoffs, if you were the Giants, it would not be the same Melky Cabrera that you have right now. So this is devastating to the Giants.
Yeah. But, with that being said, kudos to Melky Cabrera for coming out and admitting it. He got caught. He tried to appeal it. It didn't work. He just said, look, I took some stuff I wasn't supposed to. He didn't go with the dog ate my homework excuse I took some something I thought was legal. He just said, hey, you got me. So respect due for that. But big blow for the Giants. Let's keep it moving from one Cabrera to another. If you've been under a rock, the Tigers are getting hot again. They had a rough beginning to the season, but they're coming on strong. Miguel Cabrera has been stroking it all year. He's still doing what Miguel Cabrera does. And he's generating some MVP talk. Since we've last been on, Jim Leland kind of fueled the fire, saying that he hopes that the media doesn't go with the story. And he called the story this Wonder Boy kid in L.A. He actually called Mike Trout Wonder Boy. So there was a big debate on who's your MVP, Miggy or Wonder Boy, Mike Trout. So, I wanted to throw it to the Renegades and see where you guys were at on this, Miguel Cabrera or Mike Trout. And if you notice, we're minus one today. Mike may be in a little bit later, but it's going to be me and Hank holding it down. And we're two of the biggest Tigers fans I know. So we will try to be as objective as possible. But, Hank, Wonder Boy or Cabrera? Keeping in mind that Miguel Cabrera has never won an MVP, and in my mind, there's been a couple of years where he really deserved it. Where you at, Wonder Boy or Miggy?
Okay, you know what? Let's do a little thing. I'm going to play a little bit of Mike right here, okay? At least I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best Mike impression. Let's look at the numbers a little bit, okay? Let's look at Mike Trout, okay? He came in. He didn't even start the season, okay? He didn't start from day one. He came up later, you know, after Torrey Hunter, they put him on assignment. He was out for a little bit. Okay, and since that time he came in, he's got 130 hits, 21 home runs, 65 RBI. He's batting 341, and he's got 37 stolen bases. You know, some baseball experts out there compare his play with that of Ricky Henderson, a Hall of Famer. You know, so, you know, he's doing work. He looks good, you know, and he's playing with a contending team. All right, so his numbers are comparable. When you look at the other rookies of the year, rookies that's won the MVP, your Fred Lynn's and your Ichiro Suzuki's, that would put him in pretty good company. But now let's go to our boy. All right. One of the probably the most purest hitters in the game right now, save Albert Pujols. He's got 153 hits, 30 home runs, 103 RBI, already over 100 RBI already this year. Leads the league in RBI, leads the league in hits. Okay, I think he's third or fourth in home runs, second in batting average. What you have in Miguel Cabrera is the most consistent hitter in baseball, hands down. Okay, and you, his numbers are, you may get a flash in the pan, but he is clearly the MVP. He is the only player right now with the Detroit Tigers, okay, if they make the playoffs, that is really the most consistent player out there. So, I mean, to me, I think he's one through five in all the offensive categories. And it would be a hard, it would be nice. I think Trout is a guaranteed rookie of the year. But I think you have to look at Cabrera as the MVP.
Spoken like a true Tigers fan. I don't know, Hank, man. You said it's no denying it, but for me, what I'm looking at, if you choose Cabrera, I think you're going off of his career and saying that he's been doing it for a while. But if I'm just looking at these numbers, man, Trout is not only leading Cabrera in batting average, but he's leading the whole all of Major League Baseball in batting average. He gets on base more than Miguel Cabrera. And the one category I would think that Miguel Cabrera would be leading in power, which is power, Mike Trout's actually slugging better than Miguel Cabrera as well. I don't know, man.
He also leads Miguel Cabrera in strikeouts. So you might look at that too. So what about OP on-base percentage?
That's what I'm saying. Mike Trout leads in on-base percentage.
I mean, I'm sorry, slugging percentage.
Mike Trout. Yeah, I know, man. You would think that Miguel is slugging better, but Mike Trout is beating him in the three major categories. I mean, you could look at RBIs, which are great, but Miguel Cabrera has the most RBIs, but really that's indicative of other people getting on base in front of Miguel Cabrera, and that's something he has no control over. Nor does Mike Trout have any control over who's on base when he comes up, especially because I think he bats at the top of that order. So, obviously, there's not going to be as many people on base. So, you can't really look at those counting stats.
Doesn't he bat third for the Angels?
First or third, I'm not 100%. But, I mean, still.
Well,
it's still important. Hinges upon whoever's hitting in front of him getting on base, which I don't know should be considered when you're talking about MVP.
I think the fact that I take nothing away from Mike Trout's career season. I mean, he's having a remarkable, remarkable season. But if you just look at what's been going, if you just look at the last 2 weeks, just the last 2 weeks, okay, Cabrera has just been a house of fire. I mean, you're talking about as the season ended today. If the season ended today and you were to watch what Cabrera has done over the course of the last couple of weeks, he would have stolen the MVP from Mike Trout by this time. I mean, and that's given how the season that Mike Trout has had. I mean, that's just how impactful I believe that Cabrera has been to the Tigers' success over the course of the last 10 days.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to what happened coming down the stretch. And right now, the Angels are sliding a little bit out of that wild card. I mean, they're definitely still in it. I say that, but they're not where they were a couple weeks ago. Actually, they're in third place behind Oakland right now. So if they continue their descent, then I can definitely see Miggy, like you said, matching that boy up. But, man, right now, if the season ended today, neither the Tigers or the Angels will be in the playoffs. So, I don't know. I may have to get Mike Trout's name in the hat.
It would seem, here's the only thing I would see. If you're looking at baseball politics, which you have to look at when you come down to these sort of decisions, you also have to look at has Mike Trout had the kind of season that would put him or categorize him as the rookie of the year and the MVP? Or is there another candidate out there that, deserves it that's been in the league. I'm not saying that it's right, but come on, RJ. We know how baseball runs sometime now.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sick of it because the last couple of times I think Miguel's gotten jobs. I remember a couple years ago it was Miguel and Josh Hamilton, and, you know, Josh Hamilton is the better story from drug addict to redemption. He gets it. It always seems like Miguel is he's not getting his just due. So, you know, I would love to see it, but Trout's having a damn good year.
Can you imagine, though, I mean, just for a minute, can you imagine back-to-back years, Detroit Tigers being American League MVP? Oh, man.
yes, indeed. So let's keep it moving. There's some crazy stuff happening in Boston, man. I wanted to start the conversation with David Ortiz and him talking about David Ortiz is on the DL right now. He hurt his Achilles. Out a couple of days ago and said, look, you guys got me on a one-year contract. You didn't want to give me a long-term deal. So I'm going to take my time and make sure I'm 100% before I come back because I don't want to jeopardize my money next year when some other team may bid on my services. So that's where we were going to go with this. But then you know what hit the fan. Players only meeting, well, not players only, players and owners only meeting, called by the players. Reportedly, there's some dissent with the manager, yet again, Bobby Valentine. And the players wanted to express their discontent and get Valentine out of there. So they called a meeting with the players and the owners. This was reported by Yahoo Sports, Jeff Passan. After the story came out, all kind of players were saying, hey, this is not really what happened. Yahoo's standing by their story. They got some inside sources who said that is, in fact, what happened. It's crazy. What's going on in Boston? Can they yet again rebound from yet another scandal, or is it just time for them to cut bait and get rid of Bobby V?
Is it abandoned ship? We're going down. Whoop, abandoned ship. It's over. Listen, the writing is on the wall, okay? There was cracks in this hull when they decided to get rid of Kevin Youkilis. Okay, think about this. Youk leaves. He's in Chicago. He's doing work, okay? I said right from the start, when the season started, that I thought that Bobby Valentine was a prima donna and that they were going to have problems with this team. Now, having said that, it's not all Bobby V's fault, okay? This is the same problems that Terry Francona had last year with these same group of players, okay? Very talented, very good ball players, okay, individual talents, but as a team, they've got some problems, okay? Think about the Boston Red Sox. Don't just go to this season. What this is right now is that the iceberg has finally sunk this ship. That's what's happening. And David Ortiz is getting off. He said, I am not going to sit here and hurt myself for a team that we probably won't make the playoffs. We're having some of the same problems last year. They're more personified this year because of Bobby Valentine being a more demonstrative type of manager versus a Terry Francona, who was more laid back. So he tried to keep a lot of this stuff on the down low until after the season was over. But we saw this, okay? Bobby Valentine shows his emotions on his sleeves every game. The players are now lashing out. He's saying what's on his mind. They're thinking. It's over, okay? There was already rumors about players like Ellsbury going elsewhere. What can they do? You know, you've got players that are not performing, underperforming. Adrian Gonzalez and stuff like that. These guys were all-star and MVP type of candidates, RJ, just last year. This is a sinking ship. You know, I think going from the management team all the way down to the fact that Theo Epstein is gone, they don't have control. And if you look at them very carefully, they don't have control. Abandoned ship.
Are you buying Dustin Pedroia and Adrian Gonzalez coming out saying Poseidon doesn't know what he's talking about? Or is this where there's smoke, there's fire?
There's fire. It's not a fire. It's an inferno. okay? It's been smoldering all year long. Look, the Boston Red Sox, if you think about it, they really have not played good baseball all year long. I said early when we first started the show, I said, this is what I want to see. I want to see how this dynamic is going to work, okay? Because it's something to manage in Boston, okay? It's not like being in New York. New York is like is a corporate type of baseball, you know, structure if you look at the Yankees versus Boston, which is more of a blue collar type of thing, okay? And they do a lot of stuff that is detrimental to that team chemistry, and that's what's happening with them now. I mean, this is just what's happening now is we're getting close to the end of the season. The Red Sox is out of it, all right? The rivalry has been rendered moot in going into September, and now the guys are starting to lash out. They know that it's over.
Yeah, and I'm not buying it either. What is the purpose of having a meeting without the manager if you ain't talking about the manager?
Right.
What you talking about that he can't listen to?
Look, there's been probably all kind of stuff like, you know, he got the goal at the end of this year. I mean, it won't look good. If they were to fire him now, that's basically the red flag. And the Boston Red Sox fans would have a fit. Okay, you're talking about a fan base that, you know, they've been snake bit for so long, but they have seen some things happen late in the season where teams get hot. This don't get it twisted. This is still a very talented baseball team. We've been saying it all year long. Until the season is officially over, if you're a fan, you hold out hope till there's no hope to hold out on. If they fire Bobby Valentine, that's waving the right flag. Okay, they can't do that. They got it, but don't get it twisted. I would be surprised if he's the manager next season.
Yeah, but so let me ask you this then: do you fault David Ortiz for saying, "Look, Red Sox didn't want to give me a multi-year deal. I'm hurt. If I come back too early, I may not play as well as I can play. Therefore, my stock will go down." Do you fault him, or is that part of the problem where the Red Sox just have a bunch of players who are concerned about how much money they're going to make and maybe not winning as much, and is that the part of the problem? Where are you at on that one? Are you siding with David Ortiz, or is David Ortiz part of the problem?
You know what? I see both sides of that. I don't think David Ortiz is the problem. I think that, and quite frankly, I think the Red Sox have been very good to David Ortiz. Okay, they were given every opportunity to cut him loose a while ago. You know, David Ortiz stopped hitting, you know, after they won their last World Series. And yet, you know, because he's Big Poppy, because he's a fan favorite, they've given him an opportunity to work through some things, okay? But having said that, I think that when you look at the Boston Red Sox as a whole, if you're David Ortiz, you're an aging ball player, you're seeing these big contracts going to these DHs, you and I can sit here and think of several teams that could use a DH. Not saying that David Ortiz is the answer. He's not the David Ortiz of old. But he's trying to get him one more big contract. And, yeah, if he hurts himself again, he's damaged goods. Okay? And he's not going to be the first, second, or third option of players that teams are going to be looking after to try to make deals with, you know, in the offseason. So he's got to be as healthy as he can. So, you know, his agent's probably saying, okay, y'all done this year. You might as well shut it down until you're ready to play. That's a career move that, you know, for an older player, I have a real hard time, you know, faulting him for that. They're not in it. If they were in it, if they were several games out of the wild card spot and he did that, then, yeah, I think, you know, I'd be pissed. But I'm not now.
It's a wrap for him, huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, so if they were in the playoffs or close to the playoffs, he better be coming back. But they ain't doing nothing, so you cool with it.
They're not doing nothing. They arguing. They fighting. You know, they raising hell. They talking about next season. Like I said, let's not forget the story last year. This team collapsed down the stretch last year. There was a reason behind that. Okay? And some of these same guys were there. The only thing that really changed from this team, outside of now Kevin Youkilis is gone, okay, is the fact that you changed your manager. But if these guys had that professionalism, you know, they're healthier than they've been, you know, all season long. And yet, look at what they're doing. So, you know, I think for several of those players on their team, enough is enough. They know they're underachieving, and they know why, even if the media isn't reporting everything.
You know, you just touched on something, and I'm not going to let you gloss over it because I'm curious. I want to know. You said for some of these guys, enough is enough. Who are the problems? Who do the Red Sox need to get rid of? I'll go first, and I'll say the Red Sox and Josh Beckett have probably run their course. Who else you got?
I agree. I think that Josh Beckett has run his course with them. I think David Ortiz, it's time for him to go. I think that he's gotten some preferential treatment that pissed off a few people. You know, even though he's a fan favorite, but you know what? As much as they might like him and his attitude, you know, when it comes down to getting in the trenches, if you can't get it done anymore, you know, that's a problem. I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm going to throw a name out there for you. You're going to be like, really? I think Justin Pedroia probably needs a change of scenery. You know, every time I look around on that team, he's raising a whole lot of hell, but Justin Pedroia ain't the MVP player that he was several years ago. You know, and, you know, it only takes a player like that to start raising hell, to start dividing your clubhouse. And maybe he needs to go somewhere else and need to change the scenery.
I don't know if you can do both. You can't. I mean, the fans may have a mutiny if you get rid of Pedroia and Ortiz. And you know me, defense in the up the middle. Pedroia is a second baseman. When he's happy, he usually plays well. That may be a piece I may not be willing to get rid of just yet.
I don't think you get rid of him. But, you know, at some point, there's got to be some harmony between him and whoever they have. Run that clubhouse. And from what I've seen over the course of the last few years, and especially down the stretch, I've seen a collapse. That means that some of the players ain't stepping up and being leaders. They put a lot on these managers, but some of these players ain't doing what they're supposed to do also to galvanize their team to take them down the stretch.
Oh, yeah. All right, well that's enough of a squad who's not in the playoffs. Let's move on to a squad who has playoff aspirations and is right there, Washington Nationals. I mean, every time I look up, it looks like these guys are winning a game. First time while they've been in Washington that they've been in it this late. So the fans are excited. The city of Washington's excited. They can smell the playoffs. And then the GM drops his bomb on him and says, we're capping Steven Strasburg, one of their top pitchers. If not the second best pitcher on the squad. They're only going to let him pitch 180 innings. I think that he's probably only got about 20 to 30 more innings left in him, and then they're going to shut him down. He's not going to be available for the playoffs. If you're a Nationals fan, I mean, how do you take that? I mean, am I tripping? I don't see how you can shut them down. I mean, these guys laid all on the line to get to the playoffs. This is the first time they've gotten to the playoffs as the Washington Nationals, or will be in the playoffs, I should say. And you're going to shut down your top pitcher. Am I tripping, Hank, or you know, is this?
No, you're not tripping, but you know what? You know, I love the fact that we talk every Wednesday about baseball. You know, it's so fun because, you know, you always get to throw stuff back up into your faces. And this is one of the times I'm going to do it again. You know, remember I told you early in the year, I said, you know, the one thing about the Nationals is they sit there and they try to showcase all this talent. Early in the year, remember we talked about Bryce Harper? Oh, no, they're not going to bring him up. They brought him up as soon as they could. Same thing here with Strasburg. Now, look, this is very short-sighted from the Nationals' point for perspective and from their GM and from everybody who manages that team, because at some point at the All-Star break, they had to know, you know what, we've got a chance to make the playoffs this year. We're having a real good season. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to protect their investment. They're trying to protect Strasburg. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery. They can't get enough doctors to say it would be safe for him to continue beyond 180 innings. So the question I would ask, if I'm a Nationals fan, and I'm not, but if I was, the question I would ask is, why the hell are you pitching him now? Why did you pitch him so much in the first half? Why did you, if you knew you had a 180 inning limit on him, did you not just shut him down somewhere while they were still comfortably in first place or still competing so that you can have him for the stretch run, you know, so that those innings can be used when you need them? You know, when you looked up and said, okay, Strasburg looks good, let's shut him down for a little bit. I don't have a problem with them shutting him down. They're trying to protect the man's arm for the rest of his career. But you have to know and make the calculated move that he would be better suited in the stretch run than some jive-ass game in June. You know, that's where I get upset with them about it. And if I'm a fan, that's the way I would say it.
Yeah, you know, Mike and I were texting back and forth earlier in the week, and I wish you to explain his point of view. And he said something very similar to what you're saying. I mean, the Nationals have, a seven-game lead on a playoff spot? He said,
right.
Why not shut him down now and bring him back for the playoffs? The ultimate goal for all these guys is to get to the playoffs. And, I mean, the ultimate goal for the team should be to get to the playoffs and have a shot at that World Series. They have it right now. And you're talking about shutting the guy down in hopes that later on down the future you can get to the playoffs. You and I know, Hank, that's not promised.
It's not promised.
The Tigers got there in 06, and we haven't to the World Series, and we ain't been back since.
Right. And you look at the Nationals. No. And you look at the Nationals or the Washington franchise, okay, they haven't been to the World Series since 1924. Now, granted, they left several times, okay, but this is a historical moment. This is where I'm saying it's short-sighted from their front office, okay? This is a first time. This is a once in a millennium opportunity for the Nationals, okay? They're about to really take over that market in the Beltway from the Baltimore Orioles, all right? And they're playing some pretty exciting baseball. And you have one of the most dynamic young pitchers in the game. Somebody should have been smart. Look, Ryan Zimmerman's having a great season. Gio Gonzalez, those guys just hold their own. Okay, so it's not like their pitching staff is garbage. Okay, they're scoring runs and they're getting good production from their starting pitching, and they've got a nice bullpen. Somebody should have said, "Hey, we can shut him down for about another three or four games, and then bring him back late in the season when we can use him through the playoffs." That to me is very short-sighted. If I'm a fan, because I'm gonna tell you, if the Nationals fail in the playoffs because of this move, that's all anybody's going to be talking about, the buffoonery of how they handled Strasburg.
Yeah, they have the best record in all of baseball right now.
Right,
but,
right.
You stole my thunder. My next question for you was, can they win in the playoffs? Can they get to the World Series without Strasburg? What do you think about that?
That's going to be tough, okay, because there's going to be some incredible pitching staffs to get to the playoffs, okay? If you just look at what you have today, okay, you're going to have the Braves going to be out there. They're pitching well. The Giants is pitching well if they get there, okay? The Dodgers is holding their own. You still got the Cardinals just looming. You got the Cincinnati Reds and the back end of that doggone bullpen, okay? I mean, and they're the team nobody's talking about, and they are kicking everybody's tail right now. Yep, Mike, Cincinnati's Reds, okay? And so, you know, here's the thing. You've got to have a solid three pitchers in the playoffs. You know that RJ as well as I do. You've got to have a solid. You got to have an ace, and you got to have two coming behind him. And here's what's going to hurt the Nationals. That's their ace. Strasburg is their ace, okay? I can't for the life of me, you know, in good conscience, understand what the hell they were doing, knowing that there was a very real potential for them to be in the playoffs. No, they're not. I can't see them going to the World Series without him. I can't. Because I don't know who's going to be able to fill that role and create that for them. I don't know who it's going to be.
Hey,
you're going to do a lot of short rest. with your other two pitchers, and that's going to end up taking them out in a playoff series.
Yeah. What wins in the playoffs, Hank?
Huh?
Well, tell the people what wins in the playoffs. What you got to have?
Pitching. You got to have pitching and defense, buddy.
There it is, pitching and defense. And Washington Nationals is about to lose a big piece.
That's right. That's right. You know what? It grinds me. And like I said, I'm not a Nationals fan, but I can't for the life of me understand that your franchise has never made the playoffs. Okay, this is literally an expansion team that came down from Montreal. Okay, you've not made a playoff since you've been in your current location, and you have probably one of the most exciting young teams, and you're 7 or 8 games up, okay, in the aging East, and you don't handle your best commodity better than that. I got problems with that.
True indeed. Well, before you get too fired up, Hank, let's pay some bills real quick.
All right.
Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
Dog of the Week. Hank, where are you going this week?
Okay, my dog of the week is Roberto Hernandez. Roberto Hernandez is pitching tonight for the Indians against the Angels. I'm sorry. You don't know who Roberto Hernandez is? What do you mean? He's a fine pitcher. I mean, he won 19 games several years ago you don't know who Roberto Hernandez is. Well, let me tell you. Roberto Hernandez used to be Fausto Carmona. What happened, though, is that actually Fausto Carmona was not his name. That was the name he stole from somebody, and he was deported for identity theft. He eventually got his visa back and is back now in the United States and is pitching against the Angels. So, for the former Fausto Carmona and the present Roberto Hernandez to be able to go through all of that, figure out a way to get back onto a major league roster, dare I say start with one, and pitching again, you got to be my dog.
I like it. I'm going with the young kid. Manny Machado was called up. Number one prospect in the Orioles farm system. Another one of these shortstops in the mold of Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter. He's actually been compared to A-Rod. He came straight up from AA into the majors, and he didn't disappoint. Got a triple in his first game, a triple and a single in his first game. Since he's been called up, which was 5 games, already got 3 home runs, batting .316, .947 slugging percentage. The kid looks, I mean, granted, small sample size, but he's not intimidated at all. He came up, he's playing ball. Manny Machado is my dog of the week.
All right.
And it's been a minute since we've done a series that we want the viewers to check out, series of the week. You got one for them? Can you bless them with one this weekend?
I do. I do have one. And you know where I'm going. I don't even know why you asked me. I'm going back out west, going back out to the wild, wild west. And I want to see how these Giants now respond. They got a neck and neck today, starting today with the Dodgers. And that rivalry once again renews itself in a few days. And I want to see how they respond to this. This is another big series in the playoff implications out in the National League. I've got the Giants and the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers got a big week coming up. And
yeah.
It's funny that you said the Giants and the Dodgers, because I'm actually looking at the Dodgers series before they get to San Francisco playing the Braves. And the Braves
yeah.
have been a hot team as well. The Braves are in the wild card hunt. So this week may have a lot of implications for that National League wild card. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be checking out that Dodgers-Braves series. This is the time. This is where we see who it's going to be, me or you. The Dodgers
hey,
got a rough schedule ahead. We don't see.
This is what I call the pop series right here. All of these.
this is for all the pops.
That's right. These are the pop series right here.
All right. Well, I want to get your opinion on all these young players that have been coming up and are just playing ball. I just talked about Manny Machado, but before we get into all these young players, I'd be regretted if I didn't mention this King Felix. King Felix came out tonight through a perfect game against Tampa Bay, dominating stuff, but. And while you hate to put a caveat on a perfect game, he's getting let into the perfect game club before our man JV, Justin Verlander. But I got to mention it was against Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay has been no hit four times since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Only
yeah.
team to be no hit multiple times. Tampa Bay is one of those funny squads where they play, like you said, pitching and defense. They don't hit all too well, but it seems like they always get those time hits. Well, because they don't hit all the time, they're a prime team to get no hits on, and as you can see, it happens quite often. Does it diminish the perfect game for you at all, or is a perfect game, and King Felix, hats off to him. Where you at, Hank?
You know what? You cannot ever deny a major league pitcher, getting 27 straight outs against major league hitters. Okay, that is an incredible feat. Let me just go back a minute to what you say about the Tampa Bay Rays. Not only have they been no hit four times since 2009. Two of those no hitters were perfect games. So that just lets you know what's going on with them. If you're going to get one, that's a good team to get it against, you know. But to go back to today, a perfect game is just that's a marvel in my opinion. I mean, just the concentration, everything has to be right. Sometimes your players have got to make incredible plays behind you in defense, but moreover, your command, of the strike zone has to be literally perfect. The thing is about King Felix, I was watching a little bit of that at the post game, and the fact that he had command of five pitches, RJ, five pitches today, and he was throwing them all with precision. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. There was a couple of plays with any performance like this. There was a couple of plays that were nice, but but they didn't have to make those plays of the week kind of plays. For him to maintain this perfect game, he just had command, and it was a thing of beauty. It really was. He just had them locked down. He owned them today.
And that's kind of what you come to expect from King Felix. So,
yeah.
Hank, you got $100 on the line. You're out in Vegas. They tell you your $100 will make you $3,000 if you pick the next pitcher to throw a perfect game. Who are you putting your $100 on to get you $3,000?
Wow, that's a good one. The next pitcher to throw a perfect game. I can't go with JV because I don't trust his defense.
and you can't go with Strasburg because they'll take him out in the middle of the game if he reaches 180.
Yeah, as soon as he gets to 180, they're gonna take him out again. You know what? I'm gonna go with someone you picked earlier this year. I would go with Madison Baumgartner, and the only reason why I say that is because he's another pitcher that's got some crazy stuff. He's had a couple of real good games out there, But and again, I think that again, I have to look at that pitching staff, you know, with the Giants. Plus, you have to look at the fact that a Baumgartner would more than likely go against a Houston Astros or a San Diego Padres, a team that absolutely has no offense, and be able to pull it off. I mean, when the young man, I can't, his name is with the crazy name from San Diego, one hit Houston, and then the next time he came out and got blasted, I'll get his name later. But I could see a Baumgartner, you know, going against a team like that down the stretch and just wiping them out.
I like the pick. I mean, you hit it off. San Francisco's got that big park, pitcher's ballpark, good defense. I ain't mad at that one. You went off the board a little bit. I wasn't expecting it, but I ain't mad at it. Not at all. I might put my bread on Cole Hamels.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Just explain your pick, dog.
He's big money, man. The last two games, I think he's thrown shutout. He's holding down their rotation right now. And as I look at it, you know, he's a big time pitcher who I can trust.
Okay.
And he's always gonna have you in a game. I'm trying to think of somebody else, but I think he's the one right now.
Okay.
I'm going with Cole. So
okay.
Let's close it out with our discussion on these young ball players coming up and tearing the league up. I mean, you look all around the league. No more is it the thing to do to have your ball players sitting in the minors. These owners and these general managers want to get their money's worth on these young players because they're cheaper players. You can have a young ball player out there for a couple hundred thousand, where a veteran, like we've seen with Vladimir Guerrero or somebody, may want a little bit more money. So it's in vogue right now to get these young guys up. They're getting them up. Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Mike Holt just got called up for the Rangers. Manny Machado, Jesus Montero. You got a lot of young players in the bigs right now. I wanted to get everybody's opinion. We certainly miss Mike tonight. But, Hank, if I give you one young guy to start your squad with, you're a GM, who are you picking?
Now, see, that's not fair. It's not fair to some of these other young guys because, see, some of these young fellas are just getting in here. You know,
let me do this. I'll make it even tougher for you. We've already waxed poetic about Mike Trout enough. We've sung his praises. We said he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So I'm taking him out of the equation.
Okay. Well, you know
what?
Where are you going? I'm going two places, okay? And the two places I'm going is one is up the middle, okay? You got to be strong up the middle. But to me, the hardest position in baseball to really keep somebody there for 10 years is your catcher. You know, and you said about Jesus Montero with Seattle, okay? Now, we saw what King Felix did today. But that's King Felix. But you have to have you a solid catcher. We had this debate last week. We were talking about Hall of Fame catchers. I looked at Jesus Montero. Not so much for his numbers, but for what I would want to start my team. That's where I would go because we talked about your Mike Trout, we talked about your Jonas Suspedises and your Bryce Harpers, okay? What we know about that, those outfield players, it's a position, you know, it's an outfield position, it's a hitting position, but you got to have a solid catcher. You have to have just for your pitching staff alone. Okay, and before you start bringing those arms up, I think that's one thing you have to do. I think that's where a lot of GMs kind of fail. You look at how Maurer has been with Minnesota, you know, and just how valuable of a position that is when you hit it right. I would start with my catcher, and I would go with Jesus Montero.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there are not a lot of catchers. Catching is primarily a defensive position. At a time, that was the spot where you just said, look, I don't even care if you hit. Just call a good game, frame your pitches, and don't let the ball get past you. And throw some guys out. Yeah. Benito Santiago, Pudge Rodriguez, before his head size grew, wasn't much of an offensive player. You know, it was a defensive spot. So if you can find a catcher like Montero who can stroke it, hit for power, that improves your squad by leaps and bounds.
Absolutely.
So I can't be mad at that one. Not at all. I would probably go with, since Trout is out of the equation, I'd probably go with my dog of the week, Manny Machado, for the simple fact that, again, he's a shortstop. You got to have a good shortstop who can play defense and swing the bat. We've seen what these kind of shortstops can do. A-Rod catapulted Seattle to success when he came up. Derek Jeter, same thing with the Yankees. Nomar Garciaparra in Boston. I mean, it seems like if you get you one at shortstop, you can you've got half the battle down. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Well, again, you're talking about strengthening the middle of your diamond, and that's what you have to do.
Exactly. And again, I mean, you know, these guys are just getting called up. They're playing well, but you got to keep in mind that they haven't done this before. Earlier in the season, we were singing Bryce Harper's praises. He's kind of he's in a bit of a slump right now. Now, does that mean that he won't be what we think he'll be? No. But look, the guy came up from the minors. He's never really played 162 game season before. We were singing his praises earlier. He was hitting about 280, getting on base. His average dipped a little bit to 249. But you know, don't let that dissuade you from calling these kids up. They got to get it in sometime. He's learning the ropes now. While he's 19, I think it'll only make these guys better players, you know, as they come along.
Right. And when you're looking at players like a Bryce Harper, and you're looking at where they're at right now, okay, and what I mean by that is a Bryce Harper in Washington, you know, he's going to be a staple for that team and be roaming that team's outfield for a while now. So you when you see that, you kind of say if you're a Nationals fan, you think, you know, we've got a nice little core that we can do this for a while, a nice young core. When you look at a Mike Trout who we've been talking about, you know, you're looking at a veteran team like the Angels who's trying to win right now. He's a diamond in the rough. You know, there's somebody right there that we can build and keep this going. You know, I was looking at some of these young players that we were talking about. You mentioned a couple of them, Mike Alt. And then another one we didn't talk too much about, Jurickson Profar. These are Texas prospects. You ask yourself, when you look at who Texas is playing right now, they got Andres at shortstop, they've got Beltre at third. Are these guys, you know, are these guys a part of their, you know, future, or are these guys just, you know, being brought up to showcase, you know, for a deal down the road? But yet still there they are. You know, and what happens if these guys turn around? You know, you got a team like the Rangers that's trying to win today. You know, but they're showcasing some of their young talent right now. You know, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, what are they going to do with some of these guys, you know?
Yeah, you talked about Profar, and what's interesting is, I mean, they have Elvis Andrews, who's already playing shortstop. Elvis Andrews and Jurickson Profar both play shortstop.
Right.
And I believe Elvis Andrews is an all-star shortstop, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, he is.
That being the case, the Rangers value Profar so much that when they were looking for pitching at the trade deadline, when they were thinking about the Cliff Lees and the Cole Hamels, Profar was off the board. They told teams don't even look at Profar because you ain't getting them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, newsflash: either Elvis Andrews is getting moved to second base, or he's getting shipped out, and that is the level of respect that they have for what Profar can do.
Mm-hmm.
I watched him play in the in the Futures game. He stroked a home run, first at bat. The kid again, he's a shortstop who gave him power. And like we said before, those guys can really catapult your team. Elvis Andrews, damn good shortstop, can play defense, but he doesn't hit for power. Profar does. And the Rangers are kind of a microcosm for what we're talking about. They'd rather have that shortstop with a bat and a decent glove than the shortstop with just a glove all day.
Yeah. Yeah, but the only thing is, I'll take Elvis Andrews all day yesterday. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
That boy
of course
is nice.
You and I would, but we don't have Profar sitting there either.
Right.
It's definitely interesting how these teams use the prospect.
Uh-huh. You know, I'll tell you something else, too, RJ, that, you know, just kind of like something just stuns me just by some of these guys we've been talking about. They come up, Mike Trout especially, you know, and to a lesser extent Bryce Harper, but to a greater extent Jonas Cespedes. These guys, and granted, you know, with Cespedes, he's coming from Cuba. He's done played ball half his life probably. But they come in major league ready, you know. You think about some of the rookies from back in the day. It took them a minute. You could see that the talent was there, but not just to come in and be able to see major league pitching and just do what some of these guys are doing right now. What we're seeing is just a crop of rookies that, you know, are really just getting it done.
Yeah, I can only recall a few. I think Dave Winfield went straight to the majors, Al Kaline. But it's not many other guys who you know, really are just doing what these young kids – I mean, not in the numbers that these young kids are doing it today. It's truly amazing. And I think it's a testament to what these smart general managers are doing and how they're valuing young players.
I agree. Because, I mean, now you're looking at rookies that – you have to figure out a way how to pitch to them. I mean, usually when you had a rookie, and, you know, even if you had a talented rookie, you know, it was like, you know, I can fool him when it gets down to crunch time. But it's just not happening. When you look at the numbers that Trout is bringing up and just the power numbers that Cespedes has this year, it's unreal. And they're first time in the majors, you know, in the majors, in the show. You know, they're doing the work, man.
Hey. I remember the days where you would call a rookie up and, you know, he wasn't getting it done, so you send him back down.
Right. Or he would be hot for a week or two, and then, you know, the bloom would come off the rose and it was back to AAA. I mean, we've seen this so many times. They eventually ended up being great ball players. We're talking about guys right now that's getting it done. That wasn't getting it done their rookie years from what we've seen of these gentlemen, that these guys are having. And, I mean, it's been a pleasure to watch him play. It has really been something to see.
Indeed. And on that note, we want to thank everybody for checking us out tonight. It's about up. Our time's about up. Please come back. Check us out next week, same time, 9:30. We hope to have the three-man rotation back in effect for you. And, hey, if you've missed any of our shows, please go check us out. iTunes, Real Sports Guys. Go ahead and search that in iTunes, and you can download any of the past shows. Hey, go on and take us home, brother.
All right, I sure will. Okay, have a great night. Drive home. Ball game's over. Y'all drive home safe.
Peace. Brother. Hello?